Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 122 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on September 26, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
Peter Mandel.
Wow, 122.
What?
122, you said?
Yeah, 122. I thought you were talking about, like wow, you're dialed up to 122 this week.
No, 122 is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of episodes. It's a lot of us doing this. 122 topics we've had to come up with for this show. And it still hasn't gotten very hard.
Maybe we could just go back and start over from the beginning.
Like, just like be like, all right, folks, next week we're talking about this brand new thing called My Magic Plus.
Exactly.
Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. So, we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Like, do you think Ethan will ever wear, like, his magic bands to the park when he's, like, 40? Because it's, like, retro and cool?
I think so. I think that in a year, there will be a new version of the magic band.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think this is always going to be something that, like, updates and expands.
Agreed. I think once Universal gets the Magic Bands, then Disney will, like, have something else. Something cooler to just, like, stay ahead.
It'll be like a magic halo that just floats over your head. You don't even have to carry it.
Yeah. So what have you been up to this week? Anything? We didn't have a show last week because of situations outside my control. I got stuck in horrible I-4 traffic on the way home from work and didn't get home until almost 8:30, so we just didn't have time to record. But what have you been up to the last 2 weeks?
Not too much. Normal fall. You know, it's all back to school stuff. So.
Right, of course.
You know, what about you? What's been going on with you?
Oh, so much. My new girlfriend was in town this past weekend. Sam.
Oh, I like that.
Yep. And so Sam and I stayed. She and I stayed at. We actually stayed at Universal's Cabana Bay Resort this past weekend.
Okay, how was it? This is the first time you've ever stayed at Universal.
Ever,
Resort.
And I never thought I would ever do that.
Right.
I got to tell you, this Universal Resort. Excuse me, I hiccuped. This Universal Resort was awesome. So imagine a value resort at Disney. Like, imagine like an All-Star or something like that. That kind of price range.
Okay.
But definitely accommodations that were more like a moderate. Very good theming. It's all set to like the 60s and 70s kind of feel. Even to the point where like the soap in the showers is like Zest soap.
Okay.
Which they stopped selling in the 60s. And the shampoo's like VO5, which is like also stopped selling that. The phones are all like old school retro. Like everything is like, the pool is ridiculous. It has a lazy river in it.
Is there any chance this was actually just an old hotel? And they were like, look, now it's retro and cool.
Yeah, we just didn't change anything.
No, we put scaffolding around it, and when we opened it, we just left a lot of the stuff in there.
It was pretty neat. Like, so we could walk to Universal. So you walk along the garden, this garden path, and
okay.
pretty nice. Like a lot of benches, a lot of like, you know, our old buddy Dave from the 2005 Walt Disney World Vacation Planning DVD would have been happy there because there were benches everywhere.
But oh, yeah.
It was a pretty long line, but then you could also take a bus to Cabana Bay, or you could take boats to the other resorts. So, I mean, you know, Universal had a good thing going with this.
Now, how far of a walk are we talking about?
I mean, I would liken it probably to, like, I would liken it as the walk from Epcot to Studios.
Okay, that's pretty far.
It was a far walk, I'm not going to lie. Like, it was a far walk. We did it first thing in the morning. And when you stay on Universal property, you can get into Universal Studios an hour early. So we got in at 7 a.m.
Okay.
And we were done, like done by 10.
10 a.m.
Both parks, done.
No.
I swear to God. Like, we did everything we wanted to do.
A little bit of an indictment on Universal?
Well, here's the thing. When you get, like, not a lot of people stay at Universal property, Pete. So when you get in that first, like, that hour, that early hour, it's unreal how many rides you could bang out.
It's interesting.
Within the first hour, we were done with Universal. Even got to do Minions for the first time ever.
Now, what's the price range of this hotel, if I can ask?
You know what? I don't even remember. I would say it's comparable to the All Stars or Pop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it almost makes that first hour kind of really important. It almost seems like it's worth it.
Yeah, no, it's because here's the thing. It's great if you're renting a car down here, I recommend it because you can bang out your Universal early in the morning and then get over to Disney before the end of the day.
Well, it's funny. I don't know my in-laws always go to Florida for a couple weeks in the fall.
Okay.
So they're going in October, and my brother-in-law is going with them. And so my father-in-law and brother-in-law want to do Universal for a day.
Okay.
I'm half tempted to tell them they should just stay overnight because they want to bang out
one night. You can get in, yeah.
You know, they're going to go on like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're almost better staying there for the night. Mm-hmm. And getting that extra hour, you really could probably, you know, bang out a lot of rides.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, I don't know if the price was low because we're annual pass holders or whatnot, but...
Right. Worth looking
at. Yeah, and they're building Volcano Bay right next to it.
Interesting.
So, like, from my room window, I got a view of, like, other things from Volcano Bay that, like, you can't see from the road yet, like slides and stuff that they're building. It looks awesome.
All the construction.
And you know what? The food court was fantastic. My girlfriend got this, like, turkey and provolone sandwich that was, like, and I'm not usually one for turkey sandwiches from, like, I don't like processed turkey that much.
Right, right.
I took one bite of this turkey sandwich. I was like, I wish I had gotten this. And that's saying something because I had a banging brisket grilled cheese.
Now, was it too early in the relationship for you to be like, I'm actually going to take your sandwich?
No, she gave me some of hers and I gave her some of mine.
I think on my first trip with Heather, it might have been second, but I'm pretty sure it was my first trip. We were in San Angel. I don't know what Heather ordered, and I don't remember what I ordered, but our plates came to the table. She ordered enchiladas, I'm pretty sure. Our plates came to the table, and she just looked at me and was like, yeah, I'm not going to eat this, and just took my plate and put her plate where my plate was. And she just ate my food. And I was like, oh, okay. I feel like we're on solid ground now that she's comfortable enough to just be like, yeah, you're going to eat this instead. So it all worked out.
That's awesome. So also this weekend we did Food and Wine.
Oh, wow.
Yep. We did Magic.
Pretty good weekend.
Yeah. We did Magic Kingdom. We did Disney Springs, tried Blaze Pizza for the first time.
Did you see any rappers?
No, we stayed away from the food truck area just so that I wouldn't be, my eardrums wouldn't be assaulted by free daps.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, we tried Blaze Pizza and it was awesome. Have you tried Blaze Pizza in Jersey yet?
Well, yeah, we have a Blaze Pizza right here in Clark.
Yeah,
now,
I know.
So yes, pretty good.
It was outstanding. It was so. Do you get? Let me ask you, as a Jersey person, you get the high rise crust, right?
What is that?
Like the thicker crust.
No, I like the thin crust.
Oh, see, I feel like thin crust is a Nazi plot to overthrow the world.
Thin crust pizza is awesome.
No. I need a nice like Jersey style thick crust, not like, you know, like not like a Chicago deep dish, but like I need just like a good crust. I mean, the first time we went, you know, we got like a pretty standard pizza. Then I went with my friend Samantha, not to be confused with my girlfriend Samantha.
I feel like you have to let one of them go.
I know, and like my main point of contact with my publisher is also with Samantha. So it's
you can
like,
only have so many Samanthas.
I know it's getting rough, but so I went with my friend Samantha last night actually. And I got the pizza to end all pizzas at Blaze. Like, it was awesome.
Huh. Let me ask you a question. How is, like, in general, pizza in Florida? It's not great.
It's garbage,
right?
Which is why this was so good.
And they say it's the water, right?
It's the water, yeah.
Right.
So, not only that, but then this weekend was all that, and we had an amazing time. It was super awesome. And earlier in the week on Tuesday, I went to Not So Scary.
Okay.
Which I'll get into Not So Scary and Food and Wine a little bit later in the show when we get to those topics. But yeah, so pretty busy weekend on the Kevin front.
And that sounds like a great weekend.
It was pretty fantastic.
Good for you.
Probably one of the best weekends ever. So I also rode Space Mountain a lot this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know what? Like as I get older, I dig Space Mountain more and more.
Interesting.
It was I got to sit in the front of Space Mountain, which I had never done before. That was weird.
How many times would you say you rode it?
Probably two or three.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I would say is a lot for one weekend.
Yeah. No, I agree. That is an all-around great weekend. Monorail.
All right. Ready for the news, Peter Mandel?
Let's do it.
The news, as always, brought to you by our good friend Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Also, folks, before we jump in, also, I really wanted to remind you guys to check out my good friend Mikey Weisenhunt's TeePublic channel. He's going to be doing some Two Men in the Mouse shirts in the future, but he's got the Make Epcot Great Again shirt right now. I am hiccuping all over the place tonight.
What are you drinking over there?
It's just seltzer water. So anyway, yeah, he's got that over at tpublic.com/user/magical meltdown. He's got the Make Epcot Great shirt. He's going to be putting up more soon. You know, so head on over, take a look at it, and, you know, support him because it all goes to a good cause. So, all right. So, resort news this week. We got some resort news. Nothing really worldwide, nothing Disney Springs. We're heading into the resorts. Sanaa has opened a quick service breakfast, which is going to be a grab and go style breakfast at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Can never have enough breakfast places.
I agree. And this is not just like your typical... They do have your typical Disney breakfast stuff like Mickey waffles, eggs, sausage, bacon, whatnot. They also have like African breakfast foods.
Now, what is an African breakfast
food? They said like African cereal, and there's like some kind of sausage thing, I think, as well. I didn't write it all down because it looked like it was difficult to pronounce food. And I'm not getting
that,
into that.
That clearly scared you off this time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so moving along, water park news in Kevin's favorite news item of the week. Typhoon Lagoon's Shark Reef will be closing on October the 2nd. No longer, Peter Mandel, shall we dip our children into the water with the man-eating sharks that lie within. No longer shall we serve them up on a silver platter to these godless killing machines. No longer shall these perfect machinations of sea death be teased and tormented with the sight of our chubby children hovering above them. That shall never happen again. It's closing down.
Looks like your petition worked.
Exactly. It worked. We are getting away from these monsters, and that's a good thing.
You should go there with like a shirt that says shark-free environment.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'd be really unpopular, probably. So many people were like, oh my God, you can't get rid of Shark Reef. And I'm like, when's the last time you were at Typhoon Lagoon? And nobody had an answer for me.
And that's open to everybody.
Yes, that's open to the entire universe. When's the last time you were at Typhoon Lagoon? Magic Kingdom news is where kind of the bulk of our news segment is going to be this week.
It's always the best news.
Mm-hmm. And a bit of a softball news. The rocks around Tomorrowland have been finished being painted. Did you ever catch a look at what they look like?
We discussed this. How do they look?
They look awesome.
Oh, I like that.
No, I'm a big, big fan of the way they look because like they really did a great job on these rocks. They're like a metallic bluish purple.
Okay, I was just going to ask, are they flat or are they shiny? But they're like a metallic.
They're that's like metallic, cool. Yeah, like very futuristic.
How do they look in like straight up sunlight? Like, are they awesome?
Yeah, they're awesome. They're truly awesome. You know what? I had a great view of them because we got stuck on the my friend Sam, not girlfriend Sam, got stuck with me on the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover, and we got evac'd off of it.
Oh, bummer.
Yep. No, not bummer. I was walking on the TTA track. Hmm. It was actually kind of fun. I took a video. Yeah. I took a video where I was singing, like, walking on the TTA track until somebody yelled, no video! And I was like, oh, all right. As I posted it on Facebook.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, so Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party is starting to see its first sellouts of the year. Last night, which was the 25th of September, sold out. And also, we have a sellout for Halloween.
Well, that always sells out.
Right, but I feel like last year, a lot more of these were selling out, like, a lot quicker.
Well, isn't it? I mean, there's a fairly big price increase.
Not for
year.
September, though.
Oh, no?
September's kind of where we were at last year. Like, October is where it gets ridiculous, and that's where we're starting to see sellouts.
Huh. Well, yeah, but the 31st you expect to be sold out.
Yeah, I guess. The Muppets Great Moments in American History is debuting on October the 2nd in Liberty Square.
What did you think of that logo?
With the cartoons of them?
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
It looks awesome.
You know what I was really happy about? Sam Eagle right up front and center, which means this is his show.
He's going to be the star. I'm telling you, I need that logo on a t-shirt. I hope they...
I'm sure it exists.
I hope they do something.
I'll let you know if I spot a t-shirt with that on it.
Are you, you're going to go opening day?
Of course I'm going opening day. It's on a Sunday. I don't have work, so I'm going to be there.
Are you going to be there for performance one?
I feel like I kind of have to be.
I would think you should be.
It's my favorite thing in the world, the Muppets. In my favorite park in the world, the Magic Kingdom. In my favorite land in the Magic Kingdom, Liberty Square.
Talking about your second favorite country in the world.
United States of America.
Right.
If it was great moments in Canadian history, I'd be like, oh, this is great. And you have like Monty the Moose up there talking about it instead of
Sam Eagle. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something about the great white north. It's great and it's white and our cops are called Mounties. The end.
Oh.
Enjoy your crown royal, you ungrateful Americans. Hope you like hockey and beavers.
That show's coming next, soon, to Epcot.
Great moments in Canadian history. Moose gives birth, province rejoices. Oh, I love it. Great moments in Canadian... What else? Like, what are the great moments in... Oh, what about the Gimli glider? You heard about the Gimli glider, right, Peter Mandel?
I have not.
Oh, no, it was a plane over Gimli that just glided into the bay there. It was going to go down, but then it didn't. Great moments in Canadian history, eh?
There are a lot of wonderful hockey moments. Come on.
Are there?
Yeah, I think they just won the World Cup.
Canada?
Yeah. Canada's like a hockey powerhouse.
Well,
you know,
of course it is. But, I mean, I always root for the Canadians to win the cup.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like it's their sport.
Right. I get that.
Did they win the cup, or did they just win the World Series?
This is like a weird, I'm pretty sure they won. I know it's weird how they break it down too.
The World Cup of hockey, I mean, is what I was talking about.
They faced like Europe, like what? It doesn't really go.
Well, there was a Team Canada, a Team USA, and a Team North America.
Right, yeah.
How does that even work?
I can't even figure it out.
I'm sure one of our Canadian listeners would be like, dear two men in the mouse, this is how hockey works, you hosers. You just called us hosers, Pete.
Well, he's not wrong, really.
Are we hosers? Are we considered hosers?
Maybe. I don't know. What's a hoser really do?
I mean, like, a hoser is, like, I think you kind of have to be Canadian to be a hoser, don't you?
Oh, well, then thank you for the compliment.
Exactly. Now I feel like I'm one of you. That's very true. Welcome aboard. Would you like a donut? perhaps some poutine. There's a poutine festival going on right now in Canada that I wish I was at.
In Epcot, Canada?
No, in Canada. Like, actual Canada.
Oh.
Like, days of nothing but poutine.
That sounds healthy.
Yeah, I know. My sidekick actually told me, and I never thought about doing this, but she said to me, she's like, oh, well, you know, the poutine place in Disney Springs. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's great. You know, I wish they gave you more cheese curds. She goes, just ask for extra cheese curds, and they load it up. I was like, you can do such a thing? So apparently you can ask for extra cheese curds.
Huh. You got to try that.
Yeah.
Can I ask for no cheese curds?
You could, and they would probably do that for you. And they'd be like, oh, no, you don't. You're going to eat this like a Canadian. You take that cheese, Peter Mandel. That's right. We know who you are. Whole country's been on red alert about you. Eating poutine with no cheese. That's just fries and gravy. Disco fries.
It's disco fries.
You want some disco, go to Animal Kingdom and go see that Yeti here in the Canada Pavilion or here in the Disney Springs area that's almost kind of like Canada because it has poutine. You eat your poutine with cheese. The way your mother intended it. By your mother, I mean Mother Canada, the Great White North. So, great moments in American history with the Muppets.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming like a freight train, folks. Like I said, October 2nd, it's going to be at the Heritage House in Liberty Square. You know, those windows are still closed. I cannot wait to see puppets in them. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to Facebook Live that first show. Or if I just kind of want to, like, experience it first and then maybe do another one later in the day.
Well, honestly, I feel like you should enjoy that first one and then... You know, you're going to be there that day. You know, it's not like they're spaced out by 10 hours. Why don't you just Facebook Live the second one?
You might as well, you know? Right?
What if Sam Deagle doesn't remember all his lines because it's the first show? You know what I mean? Like, he gets nervous.
I feel like that would be even better.
Yeah, it might be. Maybe.
Like, because then you have to watch him improv his way out of it. So something coming to the Magic Kingdom on October 2nd, something heading out of the Magic Kingdom on October 2nd, that is Stitch's Great Escape, the most reviled ride in Disney history, is on its way out the door, becoming a seasonal attraction as of October 2nd. So they're closing it down, and then they're going to reopen it in November for like a week, for like Thanksgiving, and then they're going to reopen it again in December for like around Christmas time and into January 2017. But then after that, there's nothing, and it's heavily rumored, Peter Mandel, that this this reviled attraction is finally going down.
I can't believe it's still open, to be honest with you.
I know. It's been up. It's been, it debuted in 2004 and has gotten horrific reviews ever since. It's just, it's an unpleasant experience that nobody likes.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, they're getting rid of it, so that's good. But
how many times have you done it?
Maybe five times in my life.
You think you've done it five times?
I think
wow.
I have, yeah. Maybe. But anyway, the heavy rumor right now, and I stress this is a rumor, is that they're going to be replacing it with a Wreck-It Ralph attraction.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yep, in which, like, you're going to be basically, like, you're, like, inside Game Central, and then they put, like, instead of the shoulder pads lowering down, they lower, like, a VR headset onto you, and you get to drive in Sugar Crush.
What if you have a really big, like, head?
Sugar Rush, I mean. What?
What if you have a really big head?
I do have a really big head. Like, hats very rarely fit me. So I'm a little worried about this, but I'm hoping that it'll be okay.
Hmm.
I'm excited for the concept of a Sugar Rush ride.
I'm excited because it's not Stitch's Great Escape.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, now that Wreck-It Ralph is more of a franchise, now that they're doing the second one in 2018,
right.
I feel like there's more opportunity to put them more in the parks.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
You know, not so scary. You know, I'll get to that in a second. Guest Relations is testing a new location in Tomorrowland over at the Tomorrowland Light and Power Company. That test is running through the first week of October, so there might be now, you might have a Guest Relations in the front of the park on Main Street USA at City Hall, outside the park, which is right off to the right of the touch points, and also on the back of the park at Tomorrowland.
Okay.
So if you, you know, if you need relation, if you're a guest and you need relations, this is your place to go.
Do you ever go to Guest Relations?
Yeah, I've gone plenty of times. I used to go to Valet my phone there because, like, if your phone's dying in the park and you have like a charger but it's not portable and it has to be plugged in, you can actually Valet it at Guest Relations. They'll charge it for you, give you a little ticket to come back, and then you can just come back and get your phone.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
What I typically will do now is I will charge on my portable charger. Because Facebook Live takes up a lot of battery.
Oh, I can imagine.
So I'll charge on my portable charger until that's almost dead. And so my phone will have, then while I use up the battery that my phone has, I'll Valet my portable charger with Guest Relations. So, you know, little by little. I got this down to a science.
I can imagine. I would hope so at this point.
Okay, so, oh, so, you know, not so, let me tell you a little bit about Not So Scary. You know, my favorite thing, have you ever been at Not So Scary right when it starts?
Yes.
It's so cool, because right at 7 o'clock, like, I was sitting on Main Street USA, and it was like, you know, the background music, all the Rodgers and Hammerstein, and right. Then all of a sudden, it's like, bong, and there's gong sounds. And then you just hear the ghost host welcome everyone to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And then all of a sudden it's... And like it's just like no lights changed or anything like that. But it just was, all of a sudden the park was different.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
When This Is Halloween hit. And I love the sound. I love the background music. I will say, I got my friends have candy down the trick-or-treating aspect of it. Down to a science.
What'd you do?
Well, here's a little tip for you guys. There is the best candy location in Not So Scary is actually Storybook Circus, because inside the tent where you normally meet Daisy, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy, there were actually six trick-or-treat locations inside there.
Okay.
So you go in the left side, get those three. Go in the right side, get those three. Then go back and do it again. Like, we circled that thing for like almost an hour.
That seems like a lot for candy. Tell me about characters. Did you get any pictures?
Hold on. I'm not done with the candy. Another tip that I would give is that when you ask for a bag in like a Disney like gift shop, like a just like I just need a bag to carry something in. They'll give you a clear shopping bag. Bring a backpack, line the inside of your backpack with that shopping bag, and then take your little trick-or-treat bag and continuously empty it into your backpack into that bag.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, because then at the end of the night, you just pull the bag out and you've got, like, I literally filled up 5 of those little trick-or-treat bags.
That's crazy.
It was insane. I have so much candy, I have no idea what I'm going to do with it all.
I don't know how you even had that much time.
So character-wise, my Disney bucket list, well, my friends continued to circle in Storybook Circus. I saw that there was very little line for the dwarves.
Okay.
So I jumped in there and I got the 7 dwarves. I also had purchased, I'll show you, but the audience can't see, the poison apple mug.
Awesome.
It's an awesome get. But anyway, so I wanted to have this with me when I took the picture with the 7 dwarves because, you know, Snow White. So I go up and I go up to the dwarves and I'm like, hey, you know what this is? Like, hoping they'd be like scared of it and I could like have them in my thrall. But, Dopey reached for it.
He was going to throw it on the ground and smash it.
No, I gave it to Dopey and he looked at it and then he went to eat it. And me and all the dwarves had to like jump on him to get it away from him.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It was really funny. And then we took our picture and it was fun. But honestly, I waited maybe 25 minutes for the dwarves.
Well, not bad.
No, because here's the thing. If you go after Hallowishes to these things, a lot of people clear out after Hallowishes because they've seen Hocus Pocus, they've seen the parade, they've seen Hallowishes, right. Their night is over. This is typically around 10 p.m. You now have another 2 hours of party to go get characters, trick-or-treat locations, things that typically have really long lines. Haunted Mansion.
Did you get any of those Haunted Mansion pictures?
I got the Hitchhiking Ghost picture.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I got all 3 of those. And then I didn't get the other Haunted Mansion pictures yet. I'm going back, I think, next month with Sam and her daughter / my BFF, Morgan. And
nice.
We are going to do it all over again. And, yeah, so I am, like, I'm super excited to go back. But, I walked by, Cruella DeVille had no line.
Really?
It was late at night, and I really wanted to stop. My friends were, like, charging ahead to get more candy, and I'm like, we don't need more candy! But we did. So, I didn't get my Cruella picture, but it's okay.
That's a little bit of a bummer.
Yep, so we watched it. Of course, because I'm going to Not So Scary, it rained in the beginning.
Okay.
So originally, I'm sitting there in the monorail station, it's pouring rain, and I said to myself, if I get to Magic Kingdom and it's still raining, I'm going to do the unthinkable.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to buy a poncho, and my Halloween costume will be Disney Dork in a poncho. Like, the one thing I would never do, and it was going to be this big thing, but then it stopped raining. But because the ground was wet, no Headless Horseman.
Yeah.
We watched one of the earlier parades, which, much to my chagrin, I wanted to watch the later one because I figured the ground would have time to dry. But we watched so Goofy is now just a walking character at the beginning of the parade. He doesn't drive the candy mobile anymore.
Okay.
Because Ralph and Vanellope von Schweetz from Wreck-It Ralph come in with the candy thing.
Hey, that kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, and they actually have as face characters all of the drivers from Sugar Rush.
Oh, nice.
And they're like baton twirlers, and they're all twirling like candy canes and stuff like that. It was really neat.
Oh, that's cool.
And it makes sense for the Sugar Rush gang to be like, so like Ralph's in like a car waving at everybody, and then Vanellope is driving the candy machine. So it was repurposed, and now they close with the villains.
That is just, it's still the best parade, I think, ever.
Absolutely. Jack and Sally's line was just, like, even yesterday I was at Magic Kingdom before, and like, it was like 3:50. And people were starting to line up for Jack and Sally.
Well, that's why I know we were there when it started, because we got there really early. I think we got there at like 5. And, you know, it was a madhouse already.
Yeah. It's ridiculous how popular that is. So here's something. I don't remember when Very Merry starts, but my friend Samantha, her next trip is going to be like, very tail end of October, like October 30th to November 7th. So she could, in theory, do what we've always talked about if it lines up correctly.
Yeah, I feel like it's more than a week apart.
It might be.
Because, I mean, I've, like, literally looked into it.
Yeah.
But,
I told her at the very least you're gonna see you'll see the turnover.
Yeah, definitely.
So, between Halloween and Christmas, I'm talking about.
Right.
Anything else you want to know about? Hocus Pocus was awesome as it was last year.
How was the line for the special card?
You know what? My friends had to go to guest relations like right at the beginning of the party, so it was like 7 o'clock, and I was right there on Main Street. I just popped right in and got the card.
Oh, nice. There wasn't, like, a crazy line?
The rest of the night, there was a crazy line. So, if I do end up going back next month, I will get another card, and I will get it for Ethan.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yeah, I will do my best. all right, so anything else about Not So Scary, or are you good with information on this?
No, I think that's pretty solid.
For some solid advice given here today.
Yeah, good with the candy lining.
And you know what? Honestly, my other bit of advice would be, you know, see how the wishes and then go do characters, but then maybe even do the early parade and then do all the characters and then come back for the last Hocus Pocus of the night, which is right at midnight. Because we got right up, like, you couldn't move near there for the earlier shows, but we got right up in the front of the castle for the last show.
Right, yeah, it couldn't have been super crowded, right?
We got an amazing spot for this. Like, we were right up front and center. Like, you know, like, it was very, very close. It's the same three girls from last year, too, playing as Sandersons. And someone told me that the one who plays Winifred Sanderson is actually a Bette Midler impersonator.
Yeah, well, that would make sense, right?
Which, I mean, I believe it, because her Bette Midler is spot on, even when she sings. I really, really dig that show. I mean, I know I said it last year. Hands down, the best live show of the year at Disney.
I mean, that's a bold statement.
Hands, like, nothing else even comes close.
What about that bird show they had at Animal Kingdom?
Not even close, Peter Mandel.
All right.
I will tell you, I did the night. So I have one. I have another tip for people. The nighttime safari. Remember how I poo-pooed the nighttime safari?
You did. You hardcore poo-pooed it.
Well, I am going to un-poo-poo the nighttime safari right now, because but with a caveat, you need to go right at sunset.
Okay.
You need to go, like, while the sky is still partly blue and the sun is setting. You need to be on that car while there's still blue in the sky. Because you hit the savannah, the LED sunset looks breathtaking right at dusk. Like, it doesn't look ridiculous like it looks in the middle of the night.
Right.
It actually looked real. But the animals are, like, when you can actually see them, the animals are so much more active at night. Like, we saw them feeding, they were feeding the hippos. And, dude, you know the hippos are always just kind of, like, sitting there? Like, just like we're hippos?
Yeah.
Dude, we're watching these hippos eat whole heads of lettuce. They're swimming all over the place. They're coming out of the water. They're moving all fast. Like, I've never seen the hippos do anything even remotely like that. We went over by the lions. There were zebras in the middle of the road that actually stopped our car, because they sat in the middle of the road. And so I'm sitting by the side of the van, and a zebra literally walked right up next to me. Like, close.
And you saw the lions attacking the zebra?
No, I said that they were taunting the lions. Like, hey, lions, bet you wish you can come out here. The lions are like, stupid zebras, don't even want that anyway. The lions, by the way, not this time, but another time I did the nighttime safari, the lions are nocturnal, so they were up,
and
the male lion was roaring.
Wow, really?
Yes, full-blown roaring. And the females were making noise, and this time the male was, like, laying down. I think he was depressed that he couldn't maul the zebras and eat them. And one of the lionesses literally came up behind him and just started licking his head, like, grooming him. And then she went and started grooming the other lioness who was laying there as well.
Okay.
It was pretty awesome.
That sounds very cool, actually.
It was super duper cool. I really enjoyed it. There I go with the super duper again. All right, moving along out of the Magic Kingdom. We're heading over to Epcot, the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. A new band is going to be performing in Canada. I feel like I say this every month.
It seems like a repeat news item.
Yeah. This band is going to be replacing Alberta Bound, which I finally saw Alberta Bound, and they're awesome.
Okay.
Albert Abound, Albert Abound. You know, Gordon Lightfoot. Just want to be Albert Abound. No?
Nope.
I'll have you know he's a national treasure, that Gordon Lightfoot. How dare you? Next you're going to be talking about Bryan Adams like that. You're not talking about Bryan Adams like that, are you?
Definitely not.
Because O'Toole is going to get really, really angry with you if you do that. O'Toole, our Canadian character who likes to pop in every once in a while. This new band is called Bad Acton.
Okay.
Bad Acton. So they play Celtic music, something called Trad Quebecois, Polka, Punk, Irish, Folk, Breton, and Maritime. I listen to their stuff. They sound eerily similar to another band that played in the Canada Pavilion, that being Off Kilter.
I was just going to say, they sound like it.
It's very much like Off Kilter. So if you liked Off Kilter, you'll probably like these guys. Albert Abound's last performance is going to be on October 2nd. And then the Bad Acton will be 20 days in October and 20 days in January. It's limited performances. No word on if Albert Abound comes back between then. I kind of hope so, because I like them now. There have been some clunker shows in that Canada Pavilion. Albert Abound, though, was good.
All right. Maybe they'll return.
Smoking locations have changed in Epcot. The Morocco International Gateway and Morocco, the International Gateway, and Mexico have all been eliminated as smoking locations. They've added one, which is in France, which seems oddly appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah, Peter Mandel. I can, how you say, smoke in my homeland. I hope you don't have a problem with it. But if you do, I do not care, because I am French.
Is that why they put it there?
Oui. That is why we put it there. So that you, Peter Mandel, has to now walk through our smoke.
Well, hopefully they put it off to the side for you.
Right here, in the art of France. The art of France? Like paintings? No, the art of France. Like the Mona Lisa? No, the art. Not art, it's art. It's a little word humor for you there.
French word humor.
They have a problem with the letter H. Did you notice that my French guy kind of started becoming Russian?
He sounded like, who's the most wanted Muppet? What's his name?
Constantine, the world's most dangerous
Constantine,
yeah. I don't think so, because he wasn't French.
I know, but it sounded...
He was the world's most dangerous... Oh, like, because he's Russian, okay.
Right.
Escape from the gulag. So France now joins an area in Italy, the area between Norway and China, the Rose Garden walkway in World Showcase, and Future World near the Land Pavilion. Those are your smoking locations in Epcot.
It's a good amount of smoking locations.
But if you're going to smoke in France, Peter Mandel, you have to have a comically long cigarette. And you have to wear a beret. These are the rules in France.
Does it actually say that in the Disney release?
Yeah, no. It's just the rules that that Jean-Luc made up. That's our new French character, Jean-Luc.
And by the way, if you're going to smoke there, you must have...
Yes, you must have a beret and super long, thin cigarette. See, now I just added the super thin cigarette as well. We're trying to make this very uncomfortable for you. This is how Jean-Luc gets his jollies. I make it very uncomfortable to smoke in France. Food and wine. Food and wine is, the Food and Wine annual pass gift this year is a tumbler glass, which is like, I guess you drink whiskey out of it. It's like a short glass. You have to go three times, but you don't have to check in at the festival center this year. Three times scanning your band in and you're good.
Oh, nice.
So after the third visit, you just go to the festival center, which actually, I'm sorry, you don't go to the festival center. You go to the annual pass pickup location, which is Interventions. So you go there and you just, they scan you and they're like, okay, cool. And they give you your glass.
Should probably get that at the end of the night.
Indeed. The, what do you call it? The... The actual food and wine kiosks are great, as usual. The first time I went, it was a little disappointing. I got the Kalua pork slider in Hawaii, which is a revelation, melts in your mouth. And as I went to Canada, you know, to partake in O'Toole's homeland, the skies opened up for about 10 minutes, and it was thunder and lightning. And they, so the second there's lightning in the sky, they close everything for food and wine. And even though the rain stopped, there was still lightning in the area, so food and wine stayed closed for hours.
Oh, awful.
The only thing I was able to get was the French pavilion, because that's not run by Disney. It's like a French company that runs the that booth.
Okay.
And they don't care if their employees get struck by lightning.
Wow, how weird is that?
As we say in France, stuff happens, okay?
They must have done killer business, though.
They cannot be concerned with things like lightning or the right to live.
Did they have a crazy line?
No. Oh, here's a little food and wine tip for you guys. Like, when you're walking on the beaten path and you walk up to something like the France booth and you see there's a long line, walk to the other side, because a lot of these food and wine booths have two lines and people don't realize it. I literally walked up to the France booth and there were no lie, had to be 30, 40 people in that line. I walked to the other side, like closer to the Eiffel Tower. There were about 5 people sitting there.
Huh.
Got right in.
That is a good tip.
Got my beef bourguignon. Also, the kiosk in France is the only one that's stocked with, like, you know, like the thing in World Showcase is everybody in the countries are from the countries.
Right.
Well, they actually, the France food and wine kiosk is the only one of the kiosks that runs like that as well.
Hmm.
No, you know what? I believe China does also.
But you can't say that with absolute certainty.
I can't. No, I haven't been to the China booth yet. But yeah, so it was all French people. And they were like, "Oh, Kevin Kessler, we retroactively do not like the French voice you're going to do on the next episode of 2 Men and a Mouse. We are looking ahead at the future because France is in a different time zone." So we've heard the show already. That's how time zones work, right, Pete?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, like they're just in the future. He thinks planes that go across the Atlantic are time machines. Okay, so moving along to Disney's Hollywood Studios, because we don't really have any Animal Kingdom news this week. Oh, by the way, Animal Kingdom, I say this like with all certainty in my voice. Go at night. Just go at night. Don't go during the day. Go at night. Go at dusk. Do the nighttime safari. Watch the Tree of Life awaken. Because let me tell you something, Peter Mandel. There's nobody there at night.
I am pretty excited that next time I go. I mean, I definitely want to go at night next time. I don't know.
Cast members have already seen Rivers of Light, so that's coming. That's probably going to change things, but yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to go exclusively at night.
I feel like you kind of have to, because like it's, I find it to be so much cooler at night.
No. I mean, but maybe I'll get there at like 2 p.m.
Okay, that works. Here's the thing. You know what I mean? You know, Animal Kingdom is always the hottest park.
Yes.
That is taken out of the equation when you go after sundown.
Okay.
Because
that makes sense.
Yeah, it's got to be cooler. The Tree of Life Awakening is the single coolest nighttime thing you'll see in Disney. And I also can't wait, because I know that Rivers of Light is coming very, very soon. Cast members have already seen it.
And the reports are good?
I've heard great things. I've heard great things. I've also heard that one person told me that it's really great. However, people are probably going to overhype it in their heads and may end up disappointed.
I get that. I could say, especially with, you know, we've all known it's coming for so long now.
Yeah.
Anticipation builds.
In Hollywood Studios news, Hollywood Studios might be doing another Star Wars nighttime party for the release of Rogue One, like they did with Episode 7.
Okay.
So this is a rumor reported by WWMagic.com through a source that they have within Disney. It's going to be called Star Wars Galactic Nights Special Event. Would be on December the 17th. Now, that's the reason I was going to go. Like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do this one, because I didn't do the one for Force Awakens and I kicked myself for not doing it. But I'm not going to do this one because it is December 17th, the day after Rogue One comes out. And you know me, I need to go the third. I need to go on the 15th.
Of course.
I mean, it's a Star Wars movie. Come on. Let's not be ridiculous here. Again, this is not officially announced from Disney. If it's anything like the last one, it'll be you'll go to Disney Springs, you'll see an early screening of the movie, and then you'll go right to studios afterwards for a hard-ticketed event complete with a special fireworks show. No word yet on any entertainment offerings, but I'm sure it will be something special to merit the extra price. And the rumors are it will be from 8 p.m. to midnight.
Now, how excited are you for this movie?
You know what? I'm getting there. Like, when somebody was like, oh, it's a Star Wars movie, but no Jedi, I was just kind of like, But, I mean, Vader's in it, so, like, I'm really psyched about Vader. I really like that one dude who's, like, spinning the stick around.
Right.
I've gotten really excited about this movie. Like, you know what got me? The first trailer got me when I heard... when I heard the Imperial alarm.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
I was like, oh man, this is Star Wars. And then when you saw Vader at the end of the second trailer, I was just like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I mean, it's a movie I never would have needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm positive it's going to be awesome.
Finally this week, Doctor Strange is coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios. There will be a preview of the movie coming to Walt Disney One Man's Dream starting on October the 7th. But audition notices have gone out. They are casting Doctor Strange.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know if he's going to be a meet and greet character or just for live shows or whatnot. But it looks like Doctor Strange is coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios for the time being.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm going to hype a future episode that we're going to do here because some shows are saying like, oh, well, you know, they can use him until he appears in an Avengers movie, because once he's in an Avengers movie, he belongs to Universal. Because there's a lot of misinformation out there about the Marvel Universal deal.
Right.
So a future episode, possibly next week, we are going to have our good friend Scott Farney, one of the only listeners who has actually met the elusive Peter Mandel.
It's true.
We are going to have Scott as a lawyer, and he actually sat down and over the weekend in his free time poured over the contract between Universal and Marvel.
Interesting.
And learned everything there is to learn about it. And he is going to come in and he's going to confirm and debunk certain rumors like, you know, like, how long do they have the property for? Can Disney use these characters? Can Marvel use these characters? Scott is going to explain the entire contract to us.
So no, that actually sounds very good.
Yeah, it'll put an end to all the misinformation. So, sound good?
Yes.
Yep, and he's going to be billing the time directly to you.
Oh, that will never get paid.
Yeah, okay. As long as we're on the same page. I knew we were gonna skimp him on the bill, but you know, I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page about that. All right, that is the news this week. Yay.
That was news.
Okay, so we are gonna take a quick commercial break. We're gonna hear from our wonderful sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, and we'll be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I
That's
did
like
that.
That's like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weicker autograph books.
Of course.
Oh, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weicker.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer, folks. Take the stress out of your life. Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you got to return them before you leave the park that day. This is going to make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and Dad's shoulders are going to thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving things that you dream of in The Wisdom of Walt, and put Walt to work for you. The experts told Walt Disney that it would never work. A giant theme park where parents and children could play together? Crazy. So Walt put all of his money into this crazy dream of his. He put his reputation on the line, and anyone else would have quit, discouraged and disillusioned. But Walt Disney built Disneyland. So how did he go from dreaming to doing? And how can you do the same, no matter what your goal? In The Wisdom of Walt, Professor Jeffrey Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, Barnes creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. In The Wisdom of Walt, you'll learn to listen to your Walter ego and start trusting yourself, go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success, make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available in four different modes: hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook, and it has been the number one bestseller on Amazon in five different categories, including theme parks and personal success in business. To pick up your copy of The Wisdom of Walt today, go to Amazon.com or check out thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Folks, Walt Disney World is filled with classic, wonderful attractions, but every once in a while, the company miscalculates and puts out an attraction that maybe, you know, isn't up to the magic that we're used to. Maybe it's a little boring. Maybe it's a little jarring. Maybe you leave it feeling like you just got into a bar fight with 10 guys. You know, no matter what the reason is, sometimes some attractions just don't do it for us. And that's why this week, for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are counting down the top 10 worst attractions in Walt Disney World history. So this is a list, Pete, that is going to encompass attractions both present and past.
I mean, it's a pretty bad list.
It is a list of the worst of the worst. All bad for different reasons. We're going to go through it. Now, this is a divisive topic.
Yeah, I was going to say it's totally subjective because I'm positive there is something on here that's like somebody's favorite ride.
Absolutely. And I feel like people, we're going to get like, look, dear Two Men and the Mouse, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Where do you get off? And we're going to get a lot of that. But
right.
This is just our top 10 worst. Like the rides that just don't do it for me and Pete.
Exactly.
So if you disagree, we'd love to hear it in a respectful manner on our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/group/2menandthemouse. Please note that I said in a respectful manner.
Or not in a respectful manner. I would like to hear about that also.
Yes. Dear two jerks and a mouse. How dare you? It's going to get a lot of that. Okay, so ready for number 10. Number 10 is kind of an asterisk because this is on the list because I fought to have it on the list. Pete actually does like this attraction. But if this were just Kevin's top 10 worst list, this would easily be number 1. It is, I feel, the most odious, putrid, funless, joyless piece of garbage that Disney has ever spat out onto the world. And that is Captain EO. I know you like this one, but I cannot stand it, even a little bit.
I don't know if it's my love of all things George Lucas, but I gotta tell you, I don't dislike it.
It doesn't even feel very George Lucas to me.
Oh, yes, it does.
I don't like cheesy, like, 80s things in which rock stars fight evil with the power of their rock.
Oh, see, I think that sounds awesome.
Like,
but
like, it's like, oh, here's some evil space. Here's like the Borg Queen or whatever the heck she is, and slippity flappity do, and all of a sudden she's like, you know,
I loved it. Yeah, I judge things oftentimes whether it's a movie or a Disney ride by, you know, would I do this again? You know, do I need to buy this DVD because am I gonna watch this more than once? Or, you know, do I want to go on this ride again and wait for? I gotta tell you, would I go on that again? I think I would.
You could not drag me onto that ride.
I could drag you onto it.
No. I was the most miserable human being alive when I sat through that garbage.
I got to tell you, and it was a weird experience because I don't know if you remember, but Heather was really sick at the time and back in the hotel. And I went, I just took the kids for the day. And the three of us went on it. And I had the oddest, like, wonderful time with them. It was so weird that I actually really, I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. And I kind of went into it thinking I was going to like it. So, yeah, no, I liked it.
Yeah, no, not for me.
Okay.
That's why it's number 10, because Pete likes it and I don't. So
I respect your hate of it so much that I'm cool with it.
All right. Putting that masterpiece behind us. You know, it might just be that I just don't like Michael Jackson. I just don't get it.
I don't know if I get it either, but I don't dislike him, really.
I don't know. I mean, I get it. He was a talented dude and whatnot, but it's just not for me. Anyway, number 8 on our list. You ready for number 8?
Wait, what was number 9?
Number 9 on our list. You ready for number 9?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so number 9 on our list is actually, rather than this being bad because it's bad because the concept itself was very flawed and didn't work out the way Disney wanted it to work out. Years ago, Disney had this brilliant idea, and honestly, it was a good idea, that they wanted to put a little bit of Disney parks all over the country. And the way to do that would be indoor attractions. So they developed a concept called Disney Quest. And Disney Quest was supposed to be an indoor interactive theme park that was going to be able to be a franchise that could pop up all over the world. It did not work out that way, Peter Mandel.
No.
So much so that Disney has the sole Disney Quest in existence is in Disney Springs, and Disney has been trying to unload the property for a very long time. It was supposed to become the NBA experience, but that fell through, apparently.
Did it really? Interesting.
Oh, yeah, that fell through. Disney Quest was supposed to be closed a long time ago, and it didn't close because the story I heard was Disney was like to the NBA, like, okay, here's this dilapidated building, have fun with it. And the NBA was like, oh, no, you got to fix that. And Disney was like, oh, no, we don't. You got to fix it. It's your problem now. And it fell through. That's the story I heard. I don't know if it's true.
Interesting.
But either way, the NBA experience seems like it is not happening. I remember we reported on the NBA experience like 2 years ago.
Well, now you have a chance to go. Maybe it'll revitalize your love of Disney Quest.
I mean, from what I've heard from people that like work there or like have been there, Disney Quest is just in such disrepair. It's kind of falling apart. They don't even.
I can imagine.
They used to include it on like Magic Your Way tickets, like plus water parks. You get Disney Quest in there as well. But now it's apparently like it's not. Right. They used to also include it on like the big major annual pass, like the top of the tier annual pass. They don't even include it in that anymore. Yep, Disney Quest.
And why bother?
Yeah, why bother? Number seven. No, I'm sorry. Number eight. Why do I keep skipping ahead by one? What's with me tonight?
I don't know.
Okay, so number eight, we're going to Hollywood Studios for this one. This is one that I know is kind of a guilty pleasure for you, but even you have to admit it's bad. It's dated. It's bad. It needs to go.
Oh, it's not a guilty pleasure for me. My daughter just loves the character.
And honestly, I feel like enough little girls probably still get a kick out of it that's kind of why it's still around. And,
right.
But it's it's bad. It's Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
I mean, listen, last time we went, I was like, you know, I was like, Abby, do we have to do this one? You know, thinking she might be like, no, it's like on some ride. And she's like, yeah, we have to do that. And I was like,
yeah, we have to.
All right.
She's like, I literally spend 364 days of the year looking forward to this ride and this ride alone. It's the sole reason I come here, Dad.
It's the lasers.
It's all the 90s laser lights. So the 90s laser lights, it's pretty cool that you get like a live Ariel and Eric. But, you know, like it's some decent puppetry. But that Ursula is the worst thing ever. It's the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening.
Kabuki Theater Ursula. It looks like something that would have been in like Tiny Toon Adventures where they would go to like a rundown theme park. It looks like it belongs in Lester's Possum Park from a Goofy movie.
Right.
Like it is the bad that all bad is compared to that Ursula. So yeah, number eight, Voyage of the Little Mermaid. Ready for number seven?
Yes.
Number seven, an extinct attraction. Now this attraction is high up on the list because it actually wasn't a terrible attraction in theory. The movie itself was really cool. The concept is really cool. However, you left this feeling like you just got into a bar fight. This ride rattled you and bounced you and just beat the living crud out of you. And that is Body Wars from the old Wonders of Life Pavilion.
Yeah, you know, again, I like everything about Body Wars except riding it. I mean, it was, you know, it's funny. On our first trip, my wife wanted to do this ride so bad. And somehow on our very first trip, we didn't go on it. When I tell you that Body Wars got us back to Disney in 6 months, I'm not exaggerating that. Body Wars literally got us back to Disney in 6 months.
What was it about Body Wars that got her so enamored?
Oh, she loved the idea of, like, you know, being like a molecule and going into the body. Like, she thought it was great.
Yeah,
she's like, we have to do this.
And then she's like, that ride literally punched me in the face.
We did it one time. And we were like, oh, good, look, we did it.
I came out with bruised kidneys and a broken nose. It's kind of like, what if Star Tours just beat the crap out of you?
Right. I mean, that's, again, everything. I genuinely liked everything about it except riding it.
Yeah. It's a great concept.
Yeah.
Like
fun.
Exploring like where the splinter comes into the human body and like seeing like the shard of splinter and whatnot.
Oh, now, yeah.
Yeah. And but then it just like the ride started and you were just, I mean, it. I remember leaving there just feeling sick and sore and just. Like, I can only liken it to a brutal, like, beer bottle broken over your head bar fight.
Yeah, I mean, if they did it now, it would be wonderful, but...
I agree.
So much other things to do.
I agree. Okay, so, number six is something that you felt was classic, but I feel is just... I feel like it's just a really long line that you stand in. It's basically a glorified queue that goes up and down.
Right.
And that is the Swiss Family Treehouse in the Magic Kingdom. So out of place.
I can't help it. I like it. I don't disagree with you. I tend to look at everything like, man, this is a space we could use for something else. You know, you, so man, I understand
put,
what you're
you
saying.
You could put so much stuff there.
Oh, I know. And if you told me, hey, well, they're going to close that and they're going to build this, I'd be like, oh, awesome.
Even if you told me, hey, they're going to close this and they're going to make it Tarzan's treehouse or Mowgli's like treehouse, something like that. Like something just nobody knows what the Swiss Family Robinson is.
Oh, no, you're totally right about that. Yeah, if you want to go theming, you know, you are 100% right. Because my kids have no idea what that is. They've been in Tarzan's treehouse and love it.
Yeah.
They don't love the one here just because. Because
they don't know what it is. They don't even teach Swiss Family Robinson in school anymore.
Right. Yeah, no one knows what it is. I agree.
And I'm sure there's lots of really cool Swiss Family Robinson. Like if you read the book or watched the movie or whatever, like, you'd be like, oh, cool, it's this banana. But, like, nobody knows what it is.
Right.
And I remember being on it, and we were just kind of like, what is this? Like, when does something cool happen? And nope, you just walk to the top, and then you walk out.
Yeah.
It's not cool. All right, we're in the top five now, Peter Mandel.
I had the big five.
The creme de la crap. Number five. Number five had a cool moment in it, but a cool moment does not save this attraction. Honestly, I feel like this attraction is guilty by association.
Okay.
Because of who the main like star of it was.
You know, you're right, because I remember at one point really liking this.
Yeah, and then they put in the scourge of the cinematic world, Michael Bay, and talked about Pearl Harbor, which is one of the most reviled movies in history, like it was this like it was this Shakespearean masterpiece, and talked about him like he was Scorsese, and it was the backlot tour. I mean, that Disaster Canyon, fantastic.
Awesome.
But I don't need to hear Michael Bay talking about how great he is for 15 minutes.
Listen, truth be told, I actually like Michael Bay movies. I've never seen Pearl Harbor. And, you know, it made me sad that for so long after that movie came out, that ride just you watch that ride, you know, just go downhill for 10 years. It was a little weird. But I mean, back in the heyday, I loved riding. I loved going, seeing the Golden Girls house,
right,
and all the different like vehicles.
But then
like,
they took all that stuff out through the years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Michael,
that ride,
once Michael Bay came in.
But it's not even like they took stuff out like kind of at the end. No. We watched that ride die.
Yeah, it was a slow, painful
death. Decade. I mean, it was bad. The last time I went on it, when they were still doing like Pearl Harbor, so I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is just crazy. It was so boring. It
Why
wasn't worth
Michael
the awesome Bay? Catastrophe Canyon.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. Catastrophe Canyon was awesome, but the rest of it was just... And every time I would watch it, I would sing that song from Team America where I'd be like, why does Michael Bay get to keep on making movies? You know, it's the only cool thing in it was you saw Walt's plane.
Yeah, I did like that.
I liked Walt's plane. And it was the closest you ever got to the Eiffel Tower.
I mean, back in the day, I saw so many cool props. You know, you would exit the ride.
Yeah, in the queue. They didn't have them in the queue, too.
I don't remember. I just remember being at the end.
They had an A-Wing outside of it for a while, a Star Wars A-Wing.
Two awesome things. One time we got out, we went into where all the props were. They had a whole Star Wars exhibit, including part of the trench, the actual trench from the Death Star. And it was huge. I mean, it was giant. It was so cool to look at. And cool. Another time they had all props from Nightmare Before Christmas. And I was stunned at how big. I always imagined kind of like them on smaller sets. I couldn't believe how big, you know. They were maybe like half scale. Like how big everything was.
I feel like we should make a claymation Two Men and the Mouse movie.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
I don't think it'd be time consuming at all.
No.
Right? Like, right. You just gotta like play with clay for a while. I think we could do it.
Right. Yeah. We'll just stop motion.
Yeah, right? Number four, I gotta say, it's on the list. It's this high up, but it's something I've never done, so I feel like I'm almost kind of doing a disservice to it. I don't know if you've ever done it either. I doubt you have.
What is it?
The Astro Orbiter.
Oh, I've done it.
Oh, okay. So that's why you were so insistent.
Yeah, I've done it.
Because I remember when we were putting it on at number four, I was like, yeah, I don't know. Is Astro Orbiter worse than Backlot Tour? And you were like, yeah, it is. All right. So
listen, Astro Orbiter has one wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a beautiful aesthetic in Tomorrowland.
Yes.
But as a ride, this thing's insane.
Paint a picture for me. Walk me through the experience.
I'll never forget. I took Ethan on it. My brother-in-law was sitting behind me. And, I mean, whatever. I do Dumbo and carpets, and I try to start up spin. I do all those rides. Like, they're fun. You know, you just go up in the air, and it's neat. This ride, we went up. That part's okay. It goes pretty fast. The problem is when the actual ships come down, it still goes fast in a tight circle at the end. Mm. It's just not fun.
So it was unpleasant.
It isn't fun. Right, and really, I didn't know space was like 100 degrees because I'm out there in the sun, like baking, as they're spinning me in a tight circle very, very fast.
I mean, there's no shade. You're up there. You're close to the sun at that point.
Yeah, aside from the beautiful aesthetic of Astro Orbiters, there's nothing good about this ride.
Gotcha.
The line stinks. You have to get in like the elevator. It's not a good thing. Nothing about it is good.
Okay. All right, got it. Ready for number three?
Yes.
Number three is, in my opinion, I mean, I went on this one time, I know a lot of parents with young kids probably like it, but for me, it is the ride that defines lame for me, and it's always got a long line, and I never understand it, and it's the Tomorrowland Speedway.
I get it, and I get both sides of it, because I've taken my kids on that, and when I do, it's a wonderful experience with my kids. Like, I'm like, oh, I remember Abby was really good at it. I'm like, oh, this is great. I told you this before. I love seeing so many people on that line because I feel like they're not online for things I actually want to go on.
Exactly. They're like, oh, Space Mountain's got a shorter line right now because everybody's on the line for this.
This ride to me is just, you know, maybe if you're going like vintage, like Walt Disneyland style rides, yes.
Yeah.
This ride to me is so out of place. And I mean literally out of place in Tomorrowland. Like,
oh, yeah.
Completely.
Because it's completely outdated.
But just really out of place in Disney World to me. And you look at what a huge piece of land that is.
Because it feels like a ride that you would find at the county fair.
Yeah, it totally does at this point. But you know what? Same time, that made people go on it. More power to them.
Before there were rumors of Wreck-It Ralph taking over the Stitch area, people were constantly saying, like, why don't you retool that into Sugar Rush?
Well, listen, the fact that they've never made those cars from the movie Cars drives me insane. I mean,
it could have been Cars.
I mean,
like
a simple like eyeball layover on the front of those windows, and like, oh my gosh, look, you have cars. Like, that just seems natural.
I mean, they call it the Speedway, but like, and I get it, it's for little kids, but like, I could walk faster than those cars, and like, you can't actually go anywhere with them. They tell you not to bump anyone, but everyone bumps the person in front of them. Like, it becomes a hassle.
Yeah, it really is. No, it isn't even really fun, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Down and Dirty, last two.
All right, the big two.
Honestly, I feel like either one of these could have been number one for the most wretched ride in Disney.
I feel like one is worse than the other, but marginally.
Yeah, very marginally, if that's how we're going. Number two is a ride that literally ruined an entire day of my life.
I get that.
It was a ride that I got off, and I had other things I planned on doing that day. I got off that ride, Peter Mandel, I just said, I have to go home now. And I half walked, half crawled to my car, and I have never been more cognizant of the rotation of the earth than I was after riding Mission Space.
Oh, I hear you.
It is just a putrid, awful time. If there's a ride where you need a barf bag, that's a problem.
I mean, I've never ridden the orange. What is it, orange? Never done orange.
Which is saying something, because you are typically a fan of the color orange.
I know. Well, orange is my favorite thing ever. I'll never forget going with Heather, and her brother was with us, and we decided we were going to do this. We're going to do it. We're like men. Right. We're going to get on this.
We're men. And we're going to go on green.
He rides everything. I mean, he rides every, you know, crazy roller coaster ever. So he's like, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And we went up to it, and we just saw somebody run out of it, go to the closest garbage can, and just lose it. And we were like, you know what?
You know what? We're not going to do this.
We're on vacation. Like, there's almost no reason to tempt fate here and, like, end up with, like, a Kevin Kessler-style day. So
yeah,
we end up not doing
it. It is a day ruiner. Like, I don't even get motion sickness that bad. But, like,
Like, someone that gets motion sickness on this ride, they will, like, my father would literally turn to dust on this ride. I can to the point where, like, when we went to go get on this ride, I was in there with, like, a bunch of people that were, like, British or something like that. And right. So the girl goes, all right, everybody ready? And, like, one of the British girls goes, oh, actually, not really. Ha, ha, ha. Like, she's all, like, haughty and, like joking about it. The cast member, I kid you not, goes completely stone-faced in, like, an instant. And she goes, ma'am, when we walk into that room, I'm going to ask this question again. If you say anything but yes, you will not be allowed to ride.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, they're like if it's this hardcore, maybe it doesn't belong here.
Yeah, this is not fun.
And
I mean,
it
that's
shattered my illusions of space travel. Like, I always thought it was just like getting the Millennium Falcon and yahoo, like, you know, like blast off into space. Now I'm just like, this is what space is like? No way.
I have no need to be an astronaut.
Like, oh man, like never ever would I be an astronaut with that. I mean, you are very aware of the spinning. Mission Space Orange, the worst. The worst, because we have one more.
No need to ever go on it ever again, though.
I mean, I feel like we don't even really need to, like, give a wind-up to number one.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's the reason for the list. It's Stitch's Great Escape. Just a irredeemable ride.
You know, I was not a fan of the Alien Encounter.
The extraterrestrial alien encounter.
I did it a couple times. I wasn't a fan of it, but I wasn't a fan. I mean, I liked it way better than this. This is just really disappointing on every level.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's to the point where it's just like it hurts your shoulders when it comes down on you. It's dark. It's confining. Kids freak out. The chili burp is unpleasant. Like, when Stitch jumps around on you, like, it's just like it's like hurts your shoulders. It's one of those rides where you leave, and I think, like, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You leave and you're just like, wow, that was an unpleasant experience. I really did not enjoy myself at all.
I need to go on the TTA to recover.
Yes, like, seriously. I mean, like, can you think of any other attraction in Disney history that's that bad? All right, ready to hear what our friends around the world had to say about this?
Oh, I'm curious, because I'm sure we missed something.
I mean, they were chatty Cathy's on this one, and I purposely only put this up, like, when we started recording, and in less than an hour, they've, like, blasted this. You guys love to complain, I swear. All right, Jillian Lasseter says, definitely Mission Space.
Agreed.
Adam Blistein says, Stitch. Tim Elbing says, that horrible Little Mermaid thing in DHS. Kaylin Quinn says Mission Space, aka Nauseous Space. See, our top two people are. Katie Skeen says Stitch. I still get angry about how much time I wasted on that. Nope, never again. She's Canadian, so I added the A.
Nice.
Wes Gentry says, last time we were at Magic Kingdom, we saw a little girl screaming and crying trying to get out of the restraints in Stitch's Great Escape. It's boring for adults and terrifying for children. That is true. I always see a kid freak out.
Yeah, of course.
Paul Towernicki says, Stitch. Craig McFarland says, Stitch is such a cool character with such a crappy ride. Sarah Coyle says, I'm sorry, but if you need to supply barf bags, it's not going to be an enjoyable ride. Mission Space, you can leave anytime. Dave Weikert with Triceratops Spin.
Really?
Like, you know, what does Dave Weikert hate about Triceratops? Like, what's his beef with this?
I think for that area, I think it is a perfect kids ride, actually.
I do too. Like, I just picture Dave Weikert with, like, this deep-seated, like, hatred of Triceratops Spin. Like,
I mean, listen, all those Dumbo-style rides are the same, with the exception of Astro Orbiters, which...
Like, you picture Dave Weikert just, like, cuts the palm of his hand and, like, as, like, by the blood of my ancestors, I swear my eternal hatred of the blight upon Disney's Animal Kingdom. That is Triceratops Spin. May it spin into the sun and forever be erased from this wretched land.
That's just crazy.
I don't know. Like, we got to ask Dave Weikert why the sight of Triceratops Spin makes him want to punch a sheep. Like,
seriously,
we need to ask Dave Weikert why Triceratops Spin stirs such ancient primal hatred in him.
Did Dave do it?
Apparently Dave did it, and Dave really didn't like it. My girlfriend Sam Ryan says, Stitch. Which I almost made her do Stitch for like one last round. But Jason Dan Sisson says, I'm going with Liberty Square Riverboat. Such a boring experience. Note, I've never been on Stitch. Carrie Ann Rudolph says, Stitch is awful. Megan DeFord says, Broken TTA. Kay Pern says, Space Mountain. I hurt when I get off that ride. Space Mountain?
Everyone should have an opinion. Listen, you know me. I don't really like Space Mountain that much.
I know, but that wounded me. That really wounded me. Amanda Welker says, Stitch and that awful, scary thing Stitch replaced. Christina McSheffrey says, Stitch is pretty horrible. My husband hates the current Figment attraction. I'm honestly shocked that Journey into Imagination is not on here more.
Me too, but man, it would never be on my list.
Me neither.
I'll take Figment however I can get him.
Jamie Doris says, ooh, divisive topic. Stitch is up there, and Mission Space will make you ill. Sure, but have you ridden the Astro Orbiter? Something about it, maybe the circumference is just a little bit too small. That one makes me want to puke.
Oh, I'm glad to hear someone else say that.
No, you're not alone. Katie Causer says, Stitch all the way. The burnt eraser burp smell did not leave my nose for the rest of the night. Oh, that's unpleasant.
That's not good.
Ashley Robinson says, might as well call this episode the Stitch Hour. Julius Michael says, tough to be a bug is pretty bad. As was the Circle of Life Lion King show at Epcot, eh? He's also Canadian. He hosts Storybook Radio.
Nice.
Kimberly Hankins says, Body Wars. Andrea Farney says, that dinosaur spin roller coaster in Animal Kingdom that is supposed to mimic a boardwalk ride. Can't remember the name of it. I think I got Whiplash, which that is Primeval World that she refers to. Her husband, Scott Farney, lawyer extraordinaire and man who's going to be billing Peter Mandel for Marvel-related issues, says, Primeval World, worst ride ever. Kaylee Callahan says, V, pleased to see that no one is hating Carousel of Progress. Good job, everyone. I agree. Very good job, everyone, not hating Carousel of Progress. Justin Little says, the worst attraction ever was Captain EO. Yes! Oh, you know what? I very rarely do this during the show, but I am going to comment and say yes in all capital letters with no less than 4 exclamation points. Oh, now I lost my place. Okay, Krista Summers says the Skyway. Oh, the Skyway. That's a good one.
Really? Who hated the Skyway?
Krista Summers, apparently.
Skyway was actually, I loved the Skyway. She's, I mean, the Skyway didn't go away because it was hated. The Skyway went away because there was legal dispute.
Yeah. She says the Skyway. Dangly death trap teacups with views of concrete and rooftops. So glad they're gone. Stephen Memphis says, Stitch's Great Escape by far. Andy Rudolph says, Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse. I honestly thought I was in the line until I stepped foot back on the ground and it was over. Don't know what I was expecting, but it seems like a waste of real estate. Jen Irwin says, I don't know. I don't really have a choice for worst. Then again, I've only been to Walt Disney World twice. For Disneyland Resort, I don't care. I'm moving along. Ben Power says, I assume you'll be talking about Shark's Reef at Typhoon Lagoon. My vote goes for the Tomorrowland Speedway only because of smell and lack of innovation since it opened. I'm kidding. I'm going to go back to Jen Irwin. She says, I'd say Mickey's Wheel of Death. And then she had some choice words that I can't say on the air, which is why I skipped it initially, but I didn't want people to think I was hating on Disneyland. I guess she doesn't like Mickey's Fun Wheel.
Wow, I like Mickey's Fun Wheel.
Jim Swarthout says Primeval Whirl and Stitch. Amy Godden says that Narnia walkthrough attraction, a.k.a. the line ride. Stacey Gregory says Body Wars was the worst for me. Never felt more sick than when I got off that ride. Danielle Kurzau says Journey into Your Imagination, the ride that was in between the original and the present version. It was so bad that it was only open for 2 years. I'm not thrilled with the present version either, but at least the present version has Figment, even though he's reduced to nothing but an obnoxious brat that you want to punch in the face. Number two, the Finding Nemo ride. I like the stuff after the ride, but the actual ride isn't really that great. It didn't seem like much thought went into it at all. I like when the fish swim with the cartoon fish.
Yeah, me too. I'm always amazed at that. I like it.
Vicky Ford says Stitch's Great Escape. Tony Stevens says, sounds dangerous with Drew Carey.
That was bad.
Yeah, I can't believe we forgot that one. The only redeeming feature was it got you out of the Florida heat, but Stitch is right with it. Tim Hamlin says, the one that had the alien breathing down your neck, grr. He means the extraterrestrial alien encounter.
Also a George Lucas product.
Yeah. A lot of hate going around this week, Peter Mandel. Hate. People drinking their haterade.
Well, they're just not rides we love. How about
exactly.
that?
Exactly. They're just less magical attractions than the ones that are
right.
magical.
Right.
All right. Well, that about does it this week. You got anything else?
No, that's it.
No, we good? All right, well, that's going to do it for Two Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Please give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Two Men in the Mouse. We're on Twitter at Two Men in the Mouse, Instagram at White Dragon PN. And you can also join in the conversation with us at facebook.com/groups/Two Men and the Mouse. Also, facebook.com/White Dragon PN for all of your White Dragon Podcast Network news, and at Twitter at White Dragon PN. If you want questions answered on the show, please send an email to questions@twomeninthemouse.com. And if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it with a friend or a family member. Just turn someone else on to the show. Write a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us tremendously. If you love Peter Mandel and his great comic book store, Rogue Comics, in Cranford, New Jersey, visit him at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or check out roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, Aulani out in Hawaii, or Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, look up our good friend and sponsor and Triceratops spin hater Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. You can always find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him dave@magicaltravel.com. What is the deal with him and Triceratops spin?
I don't know.
What spawned this hatred? We must find out.
I do want to know.
Like, what? Why Triceratops spin and not Dumbo or Astro Orbit or Magic right. Carpets of Aladdin? Like, why? Why this one? Why this one, Dave Weicker? Why? All right, folks, if you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your daily life, check out the book by Jeff Barnes, which details Walt's construction of Disneyland and how you can apply those lessons to your own life. If you are renting a crib or stroller in your next Disney vacation, look up our good friends at KingdomStrollers.com, who will rent you the crib or stroller of your dreams and deliver it right to your Disney resort. That's KingdomStrollers.com. And for me, folks, please just check out the other great programming here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Also, for my book, Rocinante, I am currently taking orders for signed paperbacks. So this is probably the last batch that I'm going to be doing in the vintage edition before it's re-released by my publisher. So reach out to me. You can reach out via my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor. Just send a message to the page. I will get back to you with information on how you can order a signed paperback copy. Also, check me out on Twitter at KevinJKessler. And that about does it for this week, Pete. Any closing words?
Next week we'll have some love for Disney.
Yes, next week will be lots of love. Yeah, I feel like it's always good to show the other end of the coin as well.
Yeah, there's always rides you don't like.
Yeah, it's not, you know, what would we be if we only talked about the good and flowery?
That's
stuff?
Right.
I know exactly what we'd be, but we're not going to say it on the show. All right, folks, please keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.